Genesis 35. So, yesterday, Miss Melissa, Brother Chad, and myself raced in a half marathon / 10K. 10K is 6 point what miles? 6.2. The person who measured out this particular race did not use a very good GPS system. So this half marathon that I ran yesterday was actually 14.5 miles in the woods, uphill the whole time. It was uphill the whole time. No downhill. No, it felt that way. But it was tough. It was tough. And the text tonight, we're going to be talking about commitment. And I wanted to tell you, I had to do 4 laps around this horrible race. I mean, it was so hard. And you have no idea. Anyway, I'm just going to sound like a wimp if I keep talking, but it was tough. So it was 4 laps. 2 laps for them, 4 laps for me. I got 1 lap around this thing. 1 lap, which is 3.62. It was only supposed to be 3.1, but it was 3.62. 1 whole lap, and I thought, I'm totally done. My body is done. And I still have 3 laps to go. I wanted the medal, you know, really bad. So I said, I'm going to push on. I'm going to go. I was committed. I was committed. And I finished. And I think I got hypothermia and a lot of other things too. But anyway, I recovered. Commitment. You know why a lot of people have problems in life today? It's because they're not committed. There's no commitment, it seems, today. Where people will boast of things, but then the level of commitment falls away and they can't stick to it. They won't stay. They won't dig in. They won't find something and make it theirs, you know. They won't get involved. They won't become a member. They won't have a ministry. They won't. And I'm not just talking from a church relationship aspect. I mean, we can talk about marriage. Why do marriages have problems? In the end, it's from a fundamental standpoint, it's commitment, right? There's a problem with commitment. Also, friendships. We have friendship issues at times. It's commitment problems. What happens whenever we're having financial problems? It's because we're not committed to the budget, right? Because if you're wise, then you have a budget. Let me have your attention for a second. This is good counsel right here. If you're wise, you have a budget. Okay? We'll just end it there. We'll just say that about finances. But if you don't stay committed to the budget, then what good is the budget? Not much good. Okay? So, commitment. Why do we have financial problems? Lack of commitment. How about spiritual? It's the same. We have spiritual problems because we are not committed spiritually. But here's another issue we all have to come to grips with tonight, and that is that we're human and we fall and we fail and we get away from God and we don't walk with God like we should. So when we have made commitments and we've gotten away from God, now everybody should be listening to this. We've made commitments to God, but we've gotten away from God. What do we need to do with our commitments? We need to renew them. We need to have a renewal of commitments, which is exactly what's happening in our text. I just want to read a few verses to you. So stand together with me in Genesis 35. We're just going to read a few, and then I'll have prayer and you can be seated after that. Let's take a look at verse number 1 of Genesis 35. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there." Now, what does Bethel mean? Bethel means house of God, or the place of worship. So keep that in mind and let me read it again. God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to the house of God, the place of worship, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. Why should Jacob do this? That appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me, watch verse 3, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Do you know why Jacob is going to go to Bethel? Because he's going to remember that God was with him and God had made promises to him. And there's going to be a renewal that's going to take place at Bethel. And that same renewal that Jacob makes with God at Bethel is the same type of renewal that we need tonight. It's a renewal of commitment. So let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings once again upon the Word of God, that your touch would be with us, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be edified and strengthened because of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, the word renewal means to renew, or rather to restore to a former state. We have a policy that renews. It means our coverage continues. The same coverage as it was will continue with the coverage that we've had with our insurance or with whatever we've had that needed to be renewed. It would imply that we have identified with things, let me say it this way. This would imply that we have identified things that are not what they have been between us and God. If we're going to renew things between us and God, it would mean if we're going to renew it, we would have to identify that things aren't as they should be. Or that things are at a place between us and God so that we need to make them afresh or to restore them to the former state. Now, spiritual commitment is what we need to renew. Commitment is, the word means to give in trust or to put into the hands or power of another to entrust. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And so a commitment is to put yourself in the hands of God, to put your life in God's hands, to put specific parts of your life into God's hands. And so it's what you do and it's what you don't do. It's what you think and it's what you don't think. It's the way you've decided to live. It's your actions. It's your emotions. It's your feelings. It's your stress level. We make commitments to God in our life, and there are times when we have gotten away from our commitments, and there needs to be a renewal where we take those commitments and we put them in the way that they should be, back in the former state, right? And God asks us to make renewals of spiritual commitment in our life. And tonight I want you to know, God is going to ask you, I already know that God is going to ask you to make spiritual, or renew your spiritual commitments. It's exactly what He's asked Jacob to do in verse number 1. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God. Why? Because God appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And it was there where Jacob is going to remember God's promise to him. It's there that Jacob is going to have a renewal of the promise that God has made to him. Now, we already mentioned that Bethel is the house of God. It's the seat of worship. But what we have to see tonight is that God spoke to Jacob and God is going to speak to us. And it's individual. A commitment of renewal is individual. It's when God brings conviction to your heart. It's whenever you hear preaching and God brings conviction. It's whenever you are reading your Bible and God brings conviction. It's when you're in counsel, we're talking, and God brings conviction in your life, in your heart. And so it's personal. It's individual. And it's a renewal because God is reminding us of the things that we used to do, the things that we used to be, but we don't do them anymore. We're not like we used to be. Our past commitments, we've fallen away from them. Our past commitments that we've made to quit things, we're doing those things again. And so He'll speak to us. He'll speak to you tonight. And it might be tonight that He's only going to speak to you. You say, wait a second. Does God, in certain ways, only speak to me? Of course. Because it might be that God has told you to go to Aunt Susie and talk to her about the gospel. God didn't tell me to go to Aunt Susie. He told you to do that. And you made a commitment you were going to do it. But you didn't. And so now He's going to speak to you. And it's personal. And it might be tonight that the message that God has for you for a renewal of commitment is just for you. It might be that God has called you and spoken to you about reaching out to a family in the church to bake a batch of brownies, double fudge, extra chocolate chips, and take them to that family and have prayer with them. Brother Chad says God is maybe working on your hearts to do that for him. But here's what you know, because God told you that you need to do that. Sometimes we don't even know why God is leading us to do certain things. Sometimes we have an idea, a family could be discouraged or down, or they're missing church, or just the last time you were with them, you could tell something wasn't quite right, and God impresses it upon you to do something special for them. You know, just to be an encouragement. Maybe to edify them a little bit. But you never did it. And now it's been a time, or maybe it's been a long time. And it might be that He wants you to renew that. It might be that God wants you to do something in the church. And along the way, you knew He wanted you to do something, maybe even something specific like driving the bus, singing at church, helping with cleaning, or we went through a whole list of that last week. And God has spoken to you about it, and you've even made commitments along the way, but then you've not done it, or you've not upheld it. And so we need to renew our commitments to God. Now, there's two ways you renew your commitments. We're going to see them both in this text. And if you don't do these two things, then you're not going to be able to renew your commitments tonight. You have to do both. If you don't, no renewal. It won't happen tonight. Okay? Number one, you first renew your commitments to God by putting away sin. And if you don't do that, there will be no renewal tonight. Let's see that in our text. Verse number 2. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods. Can we just say tonight that Jacob, as he is desiring renewal, a renewal of commitment within his family, he understands a very important truth here, that unless we put away the strange gods, unless we put away the sin of our house, then there's not going to be a true renewal between us and God of our commitments. And so he approached his family with the desire to renew the commitment, and he said to his family, it's time to put away some things, to put some things out. What did they do? Look at verse 4. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, right, which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and they hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. Look at the last part of verse 2. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Change your what? Garments. And so there were some things that they had allowed to become a part of their life. So much so that they wore it. And so Jacob says, we need a change. He had to put away these strange gods, needed to put away these garments. The sin had to be put away. And for renewal to take place, it had to happen. Sin had to be dealt with. And we also see that in verse 22. Note, look at verse 22. It came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and lay with who? Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. And that's all we hear about this in our text. But do you think that it's there on accident? Do you think that God would put this, you know, this episode of Reuben having an illicit relationship with his stepmom, Jacob's wife, Bilhah, and it's there by accident? No, no, no. There's a note here of sin, and Jacob knew about it because it needed to be dealt with. And we'll find out later that it was dealt with. Later in, not in our text today, but later in the life of Jacob. And it also mentions this, Reuben's sin, to indicate to us that it had to be dealt with. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here at all. It needed to be dealt with. And so tonight, we want to renew our commitments to God. There's some of you who've made commitments to God. And you know it. I know it. We need to renew them. If you see somebody around you that's nodding off, just elbow them, okay? Just help them to stay awake. The renewal of your commitment starts by putting away sin. Now, putting away sin means more than pulling the stuff that you know shouldn't be in your family and in your life and putting it in the closet on the top shelf. You know, it doesn't mean that. It means, the matter of fact, the word putting away in our text means to turn aside or to depart. And the idea is that you remove them from your house, you remove them from your life. And so putting away of sin means we need to get some things out of our house, out of our life. Sin here would imply, or rather would mean something that's in our life which is wrong, something that's wrong with God. Something that's clearly wrong with God from His Word, and we can see it. And there's a host of things tonight that we could just point to and say, this is wrong because the Bible says it's wrong, right? But there are some other things in our life that we can identify as being wrong in our life because God has spoken to us about it before. And as He has spoken to us, we know that He wants us to make the change or remove it from our life. But then along the way, for some reason, whatever reason it is, we get away from God and those things creep back into our life. To have a renewal, to have a true renewal of commitments to God, you've got to remove those things. But it's not just a removal of sin. And I think this is an important aspect of dealing with sin. Sometimes it's things that we are supposed to do that we're not doing. Things that God wants us to be involved with that we're not involved with. As we mentioned, being a witness, being a testimony, the way that we outwardly respond, the way we outwardly live and act. So we have to deal with our sin. Now, dealing with sin is the first aspect of renewing commitments. If you don't do that, there will be no renewal tonight. Before I go to the second point, can I say that maybe even a more fundamental thing than dealing with sin is a desire that you have to have to even want to be close to God again? A desire that you have to have to renew? I mean, we have to have the desire, right? Like, I want to be close to God again. I want to be right with Him. I want to be used by Him. I want this thing to be the way that it should be, and I want to renew these commitments. And so that desire should cause us to be willing to determine that we're going to deal with that sin. This isn't a small matter, okay? Hey, Caleb, will you elbow him for me, please? Thanks. So this isn't a small matter. What do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. Why do we do sins if we don't like them? Why do we involve ourselves with sin if we don't enjoy doing this stuff? And sometimes we enjoy doing it, and we kind of have compulsions or an addiction, but then after we do it, we hate it. And we hate ourselves, or we hate what we've become or what we've allowed ourselves to be because of certain sins. Now tonight, we have to remove those things. We have to determine to remove these things. You know, I think we can see right at the start of this that a renewal of commitment with God, in the end, is something we have to do every day. Something we have to decide that we're going to do every day. And it starts with dealing with sins. But we're going to suffer along the way trials and tragic things that are going to cause us to be tempted to not remain committed or to endure. Now let's talk about that. Because I don't think that in either one of these things that we can disconnect the area of renewal of commitment. I think they're both very important. First, that we deal with sin, but then we know how to deal with sorrow. Okay? Now let's see that. Dealing with sorrow, which is the second thing. To renew our commitments to God, we have to endure times of sorrow. Look at verse 8. And follow what we're going to say here. Open your Bible, it'll help you. Okay? Verse number 8, Genesis 35. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Anon Bakuth. Now Deborah died, and it caused sorrow. in the journey. Why? Well, how do I know that? Well, because Alon Bakuth means oak of weeping. And so this undoubtedly, why would she even be recorded in the Scripture if this wasn't a sorrowful time? And the death of Rebecca's nurse in the journey caused sorrow. But what did Jacob do? How did he respond? Verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel. So they continued, right? How about, let's continue in verse 16. And there was but a little way to come from Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died, and she called his name Benoni, because his father called him, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, and that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Verse 21, and what did he do? Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Adar. So Rachel labored in the birth of her son. She named him Benoni. What does that mean? It means the son of my sorrow. So she was in sorrow. She named her son the son of my sorrow. And when she died, no doubt it caused sorrow. But what did Jacob do? He continued. He went on. Look at verse number 28. The days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and gathered unto his people, and was old and full of days. And the sons of Jacob, or rather his sons Esau and Jacob, buried him. So now, not only the midwife died, now not only his wife died, now his father has died. And they buried him. And the Bible, by implication, what it would mean is they moved on. And so what is God telling us tonight? Well, if we're going to renew commitments, we have to decide we're going to move on from sorrow. We're going to have to determine to move on at times, because we're all going to have times of sorrow. We're all going to have to determine and learn to endure. Endure means to continue. It means to journey on. Many have made commitments to God along the way, but have been sidelined by tragedy. To endure means to journey on for God, holding to commitments to Him in spite of sorrow. Sorrow here speaks of what is created by tragedy or loss. And so it would be the untimely death of a loved one, or a death that would cause confusion and pain. Now, can we all relate to that? I was reading in a journal which I left on my desk. I have a host of journals back to 2004. I filled up like 15 journals. I'm still working on one right now. I'd like to write in there. So I was looking at my very first one. I opened it up this afternoon, and I got to May the 16th, 2004, and I had just received news that a kid that I went to junior high with had died in a boating accident. He would have been my age. In 2004, I would have been 24. So he'd have been about 24 years old. He died in a boating accident. And you say, well, that's kind of things happens all the time. Well, what happened? Well, he and a friend, another guy that I went to school with, were in the boat in the middle of the lake, and the boat began to sink. Matter of fact, the boat sank while they were in the middle of the lake. They didn't have life jackets. And so my friend was a big football player, strong, and was a very good swimmer. But the other kid was not a good swimmer. He couldn't swim hardly at all. So Gabe, who was the big man, swam, making his way, carrying his friend to the shore. And by the time they got to the shore, the friend survived, but Gabe drowned. He saved him. And you wonder, don't you? Why does that happen? Yesterday, we sold a piece of equipment that I'm thankful to sell. And I was in chatting back and forth with this guy, you know, about a price and about picking it up and just, you know, just business talk, no personal stuff. Somewhere along the way, though, I guess he found out I was a pastor. And as soon as he showed up last night to pick up the object, He says, the first words out of his mouth when I shook his hand, he says, "Now you told me you're a pastor, right?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Can you tell me some Bible verses I can read about my son who died 6 weeks ago? He was 21. Something to help me to get through that." And I gave him some verses. I encouraged him with the gospel. And it was a good time. We have information, and I made myself available to him to talk to him. But I have the same question tonight. Why does that happen? I remember whenever my pastor died, Brother Pendergraft told the story here before. If there's ever a time that somebody has died, ever in my life, I always have wondered, why did that happen? Because it was so untimely. It felt to me so untimely. So I asked, why did it happen? So we have times of sorrow. We have times of struggle and pain. And we have questions that we feel are unanswered in those times of sorrow. Now, when people go through those struggles who have made commitments to God, what do those things have a tendency to do? Get us off track. Get out of the journey. To not go forward. And so what we have to determine in a time of renewal, that we will endure these times of sorrow. Because we will experience them, but we have to determine to journey on. To go on. And as we determine tonight to renew our commitments to God, and it might be that you're here and you say, I want to renew, I have some commitments, I've gotten away, and it's time for renewal tonight. And I know for me, it's just what I need. It's a time for renewal. You cannot have renewal with God tonight if you do not put away sin and determine to endure times of sorrow. They're both necessary. Or there will be no renewal of commitments tonight. But if you do, and you have a sweet time of renewal with God of your commitments, you know what God promises that He will remind you of? He will remind you, He will remind you that He is all that you need. When you think about all those sins that you say, I don't need that because I have Him. And all of the things that we struggle with in the area of sorrow, God will remind us that He is all that we need. Now, I want to show that to you. Let's see it in our text. Look at verse number 5. In verse 5 it says, "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." You know what that's a reminder of? That God is there, and He's going to take care of us. That's powerful. I didn't want to skip over that, because He's there. And He's going to protect us. Did you know that sometimes we forget little things like that when we get away from God? That He protects us and He guides us and He watches over us many times and protecting us in ways we had no idea. Now I want you to see again in verse 9. God appeared unto Jacob again and came out when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." This is what God said to him in Bethel. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, now I want you to mark this phrase, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply." And we could go on with God's promise. But here's what God said to Jacob. "I am God Almighty." You know what that is? It's El Shaddai. El Shaddai means, or rather, 48 times in the Scripture, the word Shaddai is translated Almighty, All-Powerful. But also 24 times Shaddai is translated Breast. Now, don't let me lose you because you think, you know, that was kind of weird. Elohim in our text, just stay with the thought here, the train of thought. Elohim means that our God is of power and strength to create and to make and keep covenant with His creation. And so Elohim, El Shaddai, El being God, God who can create, God who keeps covenant with His creation, or God Almighty does not mean that He possesses might and strength, but that He supplies and gives power and strength. That He supplies strength. That He supplies power. That's where we translate the word Shaddai translated breast, and it fits very well because the mother supplies life and strength to the baby from her breast. So does God give and supply His own strength and His own power to you and to me. El Shaddai, all-sufficient, mighty one who is the strength giver and satisfier of His people. God Almighty is El Shaddai, which means God who nourishes as a mother nourishes her baby. Once you renew your commitments to God, then you know what God will remind you of? He'll remind you that He's all you need. He is El Shaddai. He is all you need. To truly renew things with God will help you to see things like you've not seen things, or to see God like you've not seen Him in a long time. To renew your commitments to God would bring you away from God, having been away from God, close to God once again, and it will remind you, wow, this is so rich and nourishing. This is truly all I need. Did you know we can read that in the Scripture? Because it says in John 15, verse 5, that He's all we need. Listen to this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so, what I just said to you, that God is all we need, we can read that right in the Scripture. And if you believe the Bible, that is, you're a Bible believer, you would say, yes, amen, God is all I need. But do you understand that? Do you, from an emotional, from a fundamental standpoint in your walk, in your daily life, understand that He's all that you need? You cannot until you deal with your sins. You cannot until you endure sorrow, holding true to the commitments that you've made with God. And so it has to be dealt with. We have to understand God is all that we need, and understand it from deep within. Like many of us tonight have before. We have to take those steps. And it is entirely different in our walk with God, in our relationship, the special intimacy whenever we determine to renew our commitments. I mean a true renewal. Not just go to the altar and say a little prayer. I mean a renewal. Where sin is dealt with, and endurance, a determination to endure, is committed. Because we can't really understand what it means that God is all we need until we renew our commitments to Him. So you wonder why you don't feel close to God tonight? If that's how you feel. It may be that you need to renew your commitment to Him tonight. And it may be that you, before you can renew your commitments, you need to get some sin dealt with. And you need to determine to move on. Because it might be that you just aren't moving on. The sorrow's there, but you're not moving on. And you need to move on. You have to do both. Renew your commitment to God tonight. You know what'll happen? Watch your closeness grow. Ooh, you'll get close to Him. I need to renew my commitment to God, church. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, because I'm just going to be transparent for a minute. I have a tendency to do that anyways. When I get up in the mornings and I read my Bible every single day, but it's not intimate. Something's wrong, and I know it. And I'm reading my Bible every day, but it's not close. I'm not close to Him, you know? My prayer time, it's not very It's not very, there's no intimacy there. I mean, it's just kind of, I'm just doing it. And it seems as the days go on that I know that things between me and God aren't as close as they should be, the shorter my prayer time becomes. Even though I do it every day, I'm spending less time with Him. And that 5 or 10 minutes that I'm spending in prayer, if that, it's not really intimate. It's like when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, like he and I are talking, but the whole time we're talking, I'm looking around at other stuff. The whole time trying to have a conversation, there's no eye contact, which means you're talking to me, but I'm looking for somebody else to talk to. Right? There's no intimacy if we're not having eye contact. And there's no intimacy between me and God in my prayer time. And I feel that. And so what have I identified in my life? Hopefully you're doing the same thing. But what we've identified tonight is there needs to be a renewal of commitments. But none of us tonight can get a renewal of our commitments until we deal with our sins, determine to deal with our sin, and move on from things that have stumbled us up along the way, whether it be sorrow or a tragic thing that's happened. Okay, something in our life that's stumbled us. A person who's hurt us or something along the way that has really caused sorrow in our life. We have to get over. We have to get past. We have to move on. We have to determine to journey on. It's not like we forget or say, I don't care about that stuff. No, we have to deal with it, but we endure our commitments to God. We endure. We move on from those things that they won't cause us to stumble, and we deal with our sin. And we do those things tonight, which we can do those things tonight, then what you'll find in doing those things is a renewal of commitment to God, and then you'll see God like you've not seen Him in a long time. El Shaddai. God Almighty. All that we need. Intimacy will be there. And He wants that, and He's ready. So tonight I want to give you a statement, and then we'll be done. Statement. Renew your commitment and renew your closeness. So tonight, renew your commitment. Renew your closeness. You'll be close again. Let's stand together. Father, tonight, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You've spoken to us already. And God, I thank You how You've spoken to me. And I pray, even as I have, Lord, sought Your face this afternoon, and I recognize that there needs to be renewal in my life, that I desire to deal in every aspect of my life just how You've led. And it might be tonight that Your church needs to deal in the same way. I don't know, Lord, what each person's going through, and I don't know the intimacy. It might be that You've dealt with Your people, some of the folks here tonight, about this in the past few or recently, and they've not really gotten away from You, and they're enjoying the closeness of fellowship with You. And I praise You for that. And I pray, God, that we would rejoice together. But I pray, Lord, for those tonight that might need, have identified that they need to renew their commitment to You. I pray Your strength in them, that they would be committed, that they would make that commitment once again. And we'll give You glory in Christ's name. Amen.